It was the autumn of 1898, a year of considerable note for my friend and colleague, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. His services had been much in demand, aided, I am sure, in no small part, by the case notes published in the Strand magazine. In these, I try to give a full and accurate portrayal of the work and personality of Holmes, his neuroses, his fear of women and small dogs, and also of myself. Tough, handsome, charming.
Are you talking to someone, Watson?
No, old man. I am simply preparing a preface to our latest adventure.
I see. Does that say charming?
Yes. What of it?
Nothing. Please continue.
Having only recently concluded the adventure of the Cavern of Mirrors and the adventure of the Salad Bowl and the Death Squid, Holmes and I felt in need of a well-earned rest. Unfortunately, that was not to be, as a mysterious telegram took us to Sussex, and into an adventure the like of which we had never before experienced. An adventure that would trouble the sanity of lesser men. An adventure of surprise and life-threatening danger. An adventure of romance. An adventure the world would come to know as the Trial of Sherlock Holmes.
The Trial of Sherlock Holmes. Written and directed by Peter Davis and Matthew Woodcock.
We alighted from the London train at 11, following a very early start. So early, in fact, that I was unable to enjoy Mrs. Hudson's gargantuan breakfast. Fortunately, I have become used to such a predicament, which is why I now carry with me a device that allows me to consume all the elements of a good English breakfast in liquid form.
Please, Watson, kindly refrain from bringing your breakfast tube with you. This is my best coat.
We did leave in something of a hurry, Holmes.
The communication required us to make all haste, and I do not make a habit of keeping my clients waiting.
What were the contents of the telegram? You seemed reluctant to enlighten me.
All in good time, my faithful hound.
Here we are, on the platform of some godforsaken spot. I can't remember being in such a lonely place. Except perhaps Dartmoor, or the Priory School. Or...
Excuse me, Mr. Holmes.
Indeed. And you must be...
Inspector Jeffcott, sir. You got the telegram.
As I stand in front of you, my travelling coat splattered with the remains of Dr. Watson's breakfast, I feel certain even an inspector of the Sussex Constabulary should be able to answer that question.
Then you know what must be done. All right, fellas.
Holmes, what's going on?
Watson, whatever happens, you must not interfere.
Holmes?
Sherlock Holmes, it is my duty to arrest you. You...
Arrest? Now, wait a minute. This is Sherlock Holmes.
The bracelets, please, Constable, for both of them.
But...
Watson is no part of this, Inspector.
Take both of them, Constable.
Holmes?
Hmm?
Would it surprise you to learn I haven't the slightest idea what's going on?
Would it surprise you if I said no? Hold hard, Watson. Things will get darker yet. But trust me, old friend, and I will see us through this.
Holmes?
What?
Is this a cocaine thing?
No, it is not a cocaine thing.
Let the prisoner enter.
This way, Mr. Holmes.
Inspector, surely you know this is wrong. Sherlock Holmes is one of the greatest forces for good of the age. All the help he has given the police...
I am aware of the gentleman's reputation, Doctor. I'm just doing my duty.
Sherlock Holmes, you stand accused of being a public menace, of putting at risk not just yourself, but those connected with you, no matter how brief their connection, and also being smug.